Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. Gary Bell and Brad Pollack, we are injury attorneys. This is an injury show. We do other kinds of shows on Saturday mornings for a call-in show on any legal subject, but these shows are cover different injury subjects each week. We try to help you and educate you. We try to give you this information so that you have a level playing field with the insurance company. And once you have an injury claim, because they try to beat you, they are well-educated, well-informed, well-versed in all of these areas. And frankly, many times we find out that our clients are not. So we try to give you the edge here, the tips here. And you can call us anytime. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, and Steamboat Springs, and we do cases all over the state of Colorado and have for years. 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. And by the way, we have all of our books there. We've written 5 books. You might find them of interest. They are free. You can download an e-copy free at our website, championsofthepeople.com, or you can call our office and we'll send you a hard copy free. If you want more than one book, that's easy. Just tell us and we'll send you the books. Our latest 2 books, one was called Motorcycle Accidents and Injuries and Motorcycle Law in Colorado. That's a different area of law. It's a different animal according to insurance companies. They treat you differently. And so if you want a copy of that book, our website, championsofthepeople.com, you can get it. Also, our other book, a new book out, it's called Legal Game Plan, period, paragraph. You need a legal game plan. That's the name of the book, Legal Game Plan. And insurance companies, we've discovered over the years, have their own strategy to beat you, their own legal game plan to beat you. They train their adjusters. They educate their adjusters. They know what questions to ask you. They know how to talk to you. They know what forms to ask you to sign. They know how to get a recorded statement. And you need to be informed and educated. And that's why we do these shows. Okay, today we're talking about recreational activity. And there's many facets of this subject. Recreational activity, you know, who's liable and why, what happens, what is the accident, what's the situation. And it could, you know, it could cover snowmobiling, it could cover bicycling across certain lands, it could cover hiking, it could cover river rafting, it could cover, and we did a case recently in a karate studio. So there's all kinds of complicated laws in this field, and we need to talk about recreational activities. So, Brad, let's start off first talking about the releases. That's always something that they always say, you go to sign up for an activity. Well, here's a release. You got to sign it. And so what they count on most people just signing it, and they're not going to negotiate with you anyway. So what is the law basically on these releases, and what do people need to do, including parents, when they sign a release for their child?
Well, it seems like it should be pretty simple, but in fact, it's not. It's very, very, very complicated. It's very, very difficult. One of the things we talk about with parents on recreational activities is that you have to remember if it's a recurring recreational activity that you're engaged in. And, you know, you talked about a karate studio, but you talk about a number of these recs centers that are doing recurring activities gymnastics and of ninja warrior things, or working on different parts in the gymnastics of the parallel bars or whatever you're dealing with, or maybe even being involved in some of the recreational activities of basketball and baseball and things like that. You have to remember that the parent's signature for a minor may not and probably does not continue as the party becomes of majority and now can make up their own minds. That signature, that waiver, that release may not be valid when the person gets old enough. So when the rec center starts realizing that, wait a minute, this person is now old enough, they've gone very high in gymnastics, or they've gone very high in some other activity, and they've, especially like you said, Gary, in some of these activities that are sponsored by rec centers for karate or for things like that, and then they come back after they've achieved their black belt status, or they come back after they've achieved some of the status they want to, and now they're over the age of minority, and now they're participating in the activity, the release probably isn't going to be effective against them.
Right, you know that you get releases and you sign them up front, but let's talk about releases. Let's talk about the general rules so that you can understand the landscape, the legal landscape of this whole situation. So you're going to go engage in an activity. It might be a sport. It might be a recreational activity. It might be a summertime activity. It might be a wintertime activity. So you're going to engage in this, and they give you the release. And so what's the general rule? The general rule is the releases are going to be enforceable. These people wouldn't be in business. They couldn't stay in business if releases are not enforceable. Are there exceptions? Yes. What are the laws in this regard? What are the case law? And you know, if the fascinating part about all of this is when you deal with releases, you're basically entering into a form of a contract. And so the case law, there are statutes that cover liability in certain areas, but the case law decided by courts covers a lot about the releases, you know? And so there are certain factors that have to be taken into consideration when you sign a release. But there is a leading case in Colorado, and you have to, if you're the business owner, you have to specifically describe the activity. If you don't specifically describe the activity and the dangers involved, you could have your lease voided and the injured person could recover. So there's always a question, what does the release say? Was it plain and simple? And Brad's going to go over some of the factors. But the thing I want to tell you is, you know, you take your child to a summer camp, whatever, you understand some of the activities they're going to engage in. And the case, one of the leading cases in Colorado was a camp sort of situation, and they were going to take people out on a boat and have them ride on an inner tube. And that activity of having the children ride on an inner tube, being dragged behind the boat, was not specifically described, never disclosed. And that release was attacked viciously because the danger were never given, the warnings were never given. And so you can see how these releases start to crumble, because say you say, well, you signed a release, you waived everything. No, I didn't. I didn't know we were going to walk through fire. I didn't know we were going to jump off cliffs. I didn't know we were going to rappel. I didn't know my child was going to be doing these activities, and that can void a release, Brad.
Right, and we start out with the Jones versus Dressel case, which is about 35, 40 years old now, that clearly said that these releases can be enforceable, but they had to meet certain factors, and they had to meet certain requirements. Those requirements, while having different standards or different points of view from different courts, have come to be the standards that we all look at to try and determine whether or not we have a case or not. When we move up to a case that was recently decided in 2016, December 2016, of Stone versus Lifetime Fitness, there the release was struck down. We'll talk more about this in a little bit, but that there the release that was being used there was struck down and not applied to the circumstances that occurred. But yet we had in earlier, in about January 2016, a case of Espinoza versus Arkansas Valley, which came out and enforced the release that was signed there. So you've got a lot of situations that you have to look at when you're dealing with a release. The first thing that I think is very, very important is that if you've been hurt or if you know somebody who's been hurt in a recreational activity setting, don't just say, well, I signed a release so that I don't have any recourse. There's nothing I can do about it. You've got to turn around and say, no, I do have recourse and I can do things, or at least I need to go talk to a lawyer and get a lawyer who either knows about this or is willing to sit down and look at it and review it and research it to make sure they understand what could be the responsibilities of the entities that were operating the activity. To add to that, you have the situation a lot of times where you don't know who's actually running the activity. Is it a public entity on public lands? Is it a public entity on private land? Is it a private entity doing private activities? And what's the responsibility? And I'm talking about activities, Gary, that could go from boating to horseback riding to backpacking to hiking to any activity you can think of, it to as much as being inside a gym and doing gymnastics or doing even basketball, doing karate. All these activities, these are many, many activities, biking, bicycling, especially mountain biking, where at times you're probably passing through private land and public land and you don't even know it, who's made the trail available, who gives you access to it. As you're going up to Hanging Lake, do you know whether or not you're crossing over private property, or and if so, what's the liability and responsibility to keep that property safe? When you're skiing, when you're off skiing in Winter Park, and we know that Winter Park has is operated by different entities, governmental entities. We know the city and county of Denver has certain ownership rights and operation rights in this in Winter Park. But yet, at times in Winter Park, you're on private land. You may not realize it, but you are.
Right. So you see how it gets mixed and matched with the law, because you got certain things, certain activities that you're going to engage in, and they're going to ask you to sign a release. And parents are going to sign a release for their children, or the parents are going to sign the release for themselves. And so that's an activity that you want to take, like a raft trip, and they're going to give you a release to sign. Horseback riding, going to give you a release to sign. So that's one question. Is the release enforceable? Because I guarantee you, if you try to negotiate the terms of the release, they're not going to even talk to you or let you go. But is the release enforceable? What's fair? That's one whole series of laws. On the other side of the coin, as Brad was talking about, let's say that you're out snowmobiling or bicycling, even mountain biking in the summer, and you cross private land, and that's where the trail goes, and you don't know it. And nobody's there saying, here, you sign a release. So there's no release signed. So you see the difference? And when there's no release signed, what is the law if you're going across public land and or private land? What is the responsibility of the landowner? So that's a no-release type situation, and you have an organized activity like a raft trip, whereas it is a release type situation. So back to the releases for a second, Brad, and then we got a break coming up, but we're going to talk about the releases. You know, how does it affect you? What can you do? What remedies do you have if you're injured, or in one case, the Jones case, the mother was killed? And then it becomes a very serious matter. You're listening to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Every week we bring you the show. Every week we talk about a different injury subject. And you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. All the information is there for you. All of the podcasts are there for you. Our books are there for you. championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it? With all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting. Or, if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style. All made fresh, on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash brown special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollack, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollack legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have or know. Or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollack, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. We are injury attorneys. We bring the show to you to help you become educated, to teach you about different injury subjects each week. And I'll tell you what, we've done cases for over 40 years. If you've been injured, you can give us a call anytime, 303-795-5000.
5900. In the mountains, you can call us at 970-870-8989. And anytime, anywhere from the comfort of your computer, your laptop, your phone, our website, championsofthepeople.com. We're there for you 24/7. Anytime you have a question. And by the way, don't forget our Saturday morning show. It's a live show Saturday morning. It starts at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's on the AM dial, 630 KHOW AM. And that's an hour-long show, and that's a call-in show. If you have legal questions on any legal subject, you can call us on that show. We'll answer your questions. If we can't solve your question or problem on the air, we try to help you solve it off the air. We've been doing that for years, all to help people. Okay, back to these releases. So we're talking about a recreational activity, Brad. So if the specific danger or activity is not described in there, like I gave the inner tube being drugged behind the boat, that wasn't described. The parents said they would have never agreed or consented to that, let their child do that. They didn't know that was going to happen, and so the release did not cover that. There's some other factors that you have to take into consideration on these releases, one of which is, can you understand the language?
Well, yeah, you've got to talk about the language, and there have been cases and that have come out, and Stone, I think, was one of them that talked about, wait a minute, if you have too many wherefores and this and thus and including but not limited to phrases within the release itself, you're probably taking it out of a general layman's terms of being able to understand the release and being able to really read the release. Now, normally whether or not the release is of clear language is going to be something that the court's going to look at and going to try to apply it to the general public, not a lawyer reading it. Maybe they might try and look at the person trying to strike down the release to say, what's your level of education and what could be expected? Can the person read English? When you get tourism over here and you get people who come over and don't have a very clear understanding or ability to read the English language, especially in places where you expect people to be coming to you that may not have a clear understanding of the English language, is a release sufficient? But you need to be able to read a release and understand what it says. And, it probably should refer to the term negligence, but maybe it should be defining negligence. Or at least you should be trying to get the common, ordinary term of what negligence means. Gary, I can't remember the last time in a deposition when I've asked somebody what they mean by negligence or if they believe they're negligent, I didn't get an objection from the defense lawyer saying that's a legal term of art over which they would have no knowledge or information or understanding, and therefore you can't ask them that because that they're not required to know that.
Right. And that's an important point because it depends on the language in the release. And we're still talking about releases here, okay? And another law, the case law has decided that, when you sign the release, they have to describe the inherent risks and dangers to you. They have to be specific, okay? And that's one way a release can be declared invalid. But another one, Brad, the case law is that the people that give you the release, they can't hide or try to conceal the language about the risks into really fine print, maybe on the back or somewhere that you wouldn't ordinarily look or you couldn't understand or you couldn't read it anyway. And so that's another way that releases can be voided, and we're giving you the ways to do it because, number one, you don't have the equal bargaining power. They say, here's the document. Sign this document. And so you sign it, but it has to be plain language. It can't be the risk language cannot be hidden or magically concealed or in small font where you can't read it.
Right, and let's go back to the one thing with the first beginning part of that, bargaining power. Normally your bargaining power when you get this release is simply to either sign it and go with it or not go with the activity. That's your choice. And that normally that's the total bargaining power. Now, a lot of times you're going to want to look at what the situation is with that bargaining power. Was this a situation where you came up with a friend and you're deciding you're going to do the rapids or you're going to engage in this activity so you can walk away if you think the release is too onerous and you don't like it or you don't like the potential dangers and risks they're identifying? Or are you up there as part of an employee in an employer group of 50 people where you're all expected to do this as some kind of employee training exercise where now you really can't walk away from it. It means more than just not getting to do the activity. It could endanger or jeopardize your position in your company. And that bargaining power decreases exponentially, if you ask me, when the release is given to you 15 minutes before you're going to get on the bus or before you're going to go start the activity or you're going to engage in it, or you're going to miss the activity versus getting it a day in advance or having it on the internet and having it published and them telling you to read it. Or if you've been told show up at least an hour in advance and you show up and they give you the release and you've got an hour to sit there and read it.
Right. You know, and the inherent risks and dangers have to be disclosed, as I've said. But let's take another example under the Jones case. A mother perished on a raft trip. And the whole question, you know, people say, well, she signed a release. What's the problem? She signed a release. We even put in the release as a risk of death. There's a risk of being injured, a risk of death. That's good enough. No, not necessarily good enough. So, number one, on the raft trip, they were going through rapids, and they were graded. Anybody been on a raft trip, you know they're graded. Graded 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It could be a different grading system. And so there was a big argument of, well, she didn't know that it was going to be a grade 4 rapid or it's going to be a grade 5 rapid. Nobody disclosed that. Nobody said. Somebody said it's going to be fast water. You've got to have this. You've got to have that. You've got to have this type of equipment. You got to be ready, and there's going to be a risk of death. Well, but I don't understand. I'm going to go on a raft trip. I'm going to fall off the edge of a cliff, for crying out loud, and go, you know, I'm making that up as an exaggerated example so you'll understand. I didn't understand we're going to go over a waterfall and go down 100 feet. You see the example. And so I understood we're going to go through certain rapids. So the nature of the activity has to be described. But Brad, let's talk about these companies. Can they contract away in their release, can they contract away ordinary negligence? That's a legal question, a law school question. Yes, they can. They can contract away their negligence. But can they contract away their gross negligence, their intentional acts? What if you're on a raft trip, to give you an example, and the guys are engaged in horseplay? No, they shouldn't be engaged in horseplay, but they are, and then something happens.
Right. Normally, they cannot contract away gross negligence. They cannot contract away willful and wanton conduct. And even if you're enjoying the willful and wanton conduct or the gross negligence, they can't contract that away. And you know, they cannot contract away, in my opinion, and I don't think there's been a case that's tested this. The Jones case ended out bad for the plaintiffs in that case. But in my opinion, you can't contract away what I would call gross negligence of this. Let's say we all know when you go up to the rapids and you want to go down the rapids, the water level can decide whether or not you have a class 1 rapid or you have a class 3 rapid. And what you expect out of the people operating the entity is that they've checked the water level, so they're giving you an idea of what level and what the risk is. And I believe you need to explore at least the potential gross negligence if the company that's handling the rapids has not gone and seen what the water level is and has not gone and seen how the rapids are that particular day. Especially if you have ones that will do that. And you call a lot of places. And, you know, I'd say the same thing, Gary. I'm just not picking on those companies. If you talk about horseback riding, the riders or the people providing the horses have a duty and responsibility to know what the horse is like. Do I have one that mopes along the path and just does what they're supposed to do? Or do I have one that's frisky and at any given time will buck you or throw you and has that tendency? And therefore, recognizing if I put anybody other than a very experienced rider on this thing, they're going to be on the ground sooner or later because the horse is pretty wild.
Right. You know, and that's a perfect example. That's a great example, Brad, because people would say when they signed a release, they wanted to go horseback riding, they signed a release. So they understood they can be injured or they could be killed. So what's the problem? What's the deal? They signed the release. Well, the deal is, it takes me back since you mentioned that. One time I took my small daughter to go horseback riding. And of course, they have to understand the level of experience of the rider. And so the people ask about the experience. And so they assigned her a horse. And I'll never forget it. The name of the horse was Ferrari. Boy, all kinds of bells going off in my head. I said, Ferrari, let's just talk about this a second. And so the name was kind of a joke because we named him Ferrari because this horse barely even takes a step at a time. is so slow. So, okay, so Ferrari turned out to be a safe horse. But that's what we're talking about. They must disclose this to you. They can't conceal it. They can't hide it. They can't put it in the wrong font. And so we got more to talk about in releases. We got a break coming up. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, Steamboat Springs. We do cases all over the state of Colorado, and we have for years. You can come in and get a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan, a strategy built around you, your case, your injury, your conditions. That's what you need. We'll be right back.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it, with all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting. Or, if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style. All made fresh, on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash brown special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We've been doing it for years. We're glad to help you. We're glad to bring you this show. We're glad to try to teach you and educate you. Today we're talking about releases and recreational activities. Okay, Brad, so let's we're not going to have enough time to get in part of our subject, so we're going to do it next week, and that's going to be like if you're on you're hiking and you go across public lands, private lands, you're snowmobiling in the winter, same thing. What's the liability of everybody? So we're going to cover that next week, but let's wrap this up on these releases. I think the takeaway for me, and I'll you can give your takeaway, but the takeaway for me, for everybody to take away, is you got to sign the release. All right, but that doesn't mean that's the end of the situation, because sometimes travesties occur. Sometimes there's an intentional act. Sometimes there's gross negligence, and those things are usually not excluded by releases.
That's exactly right, and I think that one of the most important things you can do, if there's been an injury, any kind of injury from, well, first of all, you need to read the release, and hopefully you get it in advance and you can understand it. But if there's been any kind of injury that needs to be redressed in any kind of recreational activity, you need to sit down and talk to a lawyer, and a lawyer who understands that these releases don't just say, well, you signed the release, you're out. You need to talk to somebody who's willing to get behind the scenes and check to see if the release is actually binding.
And I'll give you a little idea of next week. We're going to talk about the public land, private land, but also I'm going to ask you this question, and we'll answer it for you next week. I'm going to ask you, let's say you're on a jet ski and you paid for this recreational activity, you signed the release, but the jet ski malfunctions, there's a defect, and they say, well, you signed the release, but there's a product defect. What do you do there? Okay, you're going to listen to our show next week. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we're glad to bring this show to you. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.